Welcome to the Shepherd Thoughts Podcast, an audio resource that encourages biblical thinking for biblical living as we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, our Good Shepherd. For more episodes and other helpful resources online, visit shepherdthoughts.com. And now, here's your host, Pastor Thomas Overmiller.
Welcome to the Shepherd Thoughts Podcast. This is Pastor Thomas Overmiller, episode 179. And this is the sixth in a series of what we're calling misused Bible verses conversations. How many times have you heard someone say this about the word all? And we mentioned this in the previous episode as well. Something like, all means all, and that's all that all means. While this is true, the word all does mean all. The word all doesn't always mean every possible thing all at once for every person in the world. While this may seem obvious, we don't always apply this fact to the way that we interpret the word all. As a result, we refer to statements in the Bible that we easily misinterpret and we misapply what the Bible says when it uses the word all. Romans 8:28 says this, and it's an example of how we may misapply the word all sometimes. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Is this a promise for everyone? All things work together for good? Is this a universal promise? Is it something that you can say to any person at any time who is facing any kind of hardship? It is not. It is a promise given only to those who, from our perspective, love God, and who, from God's perspective, are called according to His purpose. Now, let me clarify as well that this is not necessarily a promise only for some Christians who love God a lot. This is for anyone who is a born-again believer, and this person is being described as somebody who loves God. If you remember, in John 21, Jesus asked Peter if he loved him. Now, Peter had demonstrated that his love was far from perfect in John chapter 20. But Jesus wasn't looking for perfect or fully mature love. He was looking for just any love. Well, no one loves God unless they're born again. And everyone who is born again loves God to some degree, and that love is to grow over time. But anyone who loves God, or as Romans 8:28 also says, anyone who is called according to His purpose, this is the same person or people from God's perspective. So all things work together for good, but only for those who love God, only for those who are called according to His purpose. This is only for believers. Genuine believers have this promise. In fact, in the Greek, the sentence structure places the ones who love God before all things work together for good, saying something like this, and we know that for the ones who love God, all things work together for good. This emphasizes the limited scope of this guarantee. This is not a universal promise. It is only for those who love God, for those who are called according to His purpose. Is this a promise for good things now? That's another question we need to ask. What is the good that Paul mentions here? Is this a promise that every hardship you go through in this life will end up working out better at a later point in your life in some positive and encouraging way? Not necessarily. The good primarily refers to the final ultimate outcome of God's purpose for calling you into an eternal relationship with Himself. This purpose is to glorify Him through your life. It is revealing His goodness and character through your life by transforming you into the likeness of Christ. Romans 8:29, the next verse, "For whom He did foreknow, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." In fact, some or most of this good will probably not occur until after this life has ended, when you appear before God and enter into His eternal kingdom. Romans 8:30. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. Whom he justified, these he also glorified. Predestination and glorification refer to the end of the Christian life, when we appear before God and are changed fully into Christ's image. Consider Romans 8:32, another verse that uses the word all. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, and the all refers to all believers, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Well, what is all things? Does this mean that you will get a Mercedes-Benz and a Cadillac? Does this mean that you'll have a mansion in Florida and in California and in Haiti or Hawaii? Does this mean that you're going to have all the money you could get and all the fame that you could find in this life? No, it's not saying that you will get all possible things. What it's talking about is all that God has in store for you in eternity. No, he does not plan to give you everything possible in this life, but he does intend to freely give you all that he has planned for eternity in his everlasting kingdom when you go to see him for eternity. And so this is a promise that all that you suffer in this life will turn out to be endless blessing in eternity. When you scan the context of Romans 8, verses 28 through 30, you notice that the verses before, Romans 18 through 27 of chapter 8, you see that in that verse, in that passage of Scripture, Paul made this statement as a response to the suffering that Christians endure. Read Romans 8, 18 through 27, and you'll find out the background of Romans 8, 28. Paul, in Romans 8, 28, all things work together for good, continued his discussion of Christian suffering in the following verses, Romans 8, 31 to 39, expanding our perspective to include the guarantee of future eternal blessings that follow. As key to understanding Paul's emphasis here, you need to recognize the supreme example of Christ, Romans 8, 32 through 34. During his earthly life, God the Father did not deliver him from the horrors of suffering. In fact, for all the good that Christ did throughout his life, he ended his life with greater suffering, not less. The good that all his suffering procured happened after his death in his future glorified state. In fact, it was because he suffered that he now sits on the seat of authority over all things. Philippians 2, 9 through 11 verifies this. And like Christ, for all the hard things you suffer in this life, you will experience all the good things that result from these hardships in the future, in eternity. This means that you may not see much of the good results of your suffering at all in this life. Is that okay with you? Are you prepared to suffer whatever you must for the Lord in your current earthly life and wait patiently for the good that will come afterward and forever? I hope that you are, and I hope that this verse reminds you all things work together for good. All the hardship that a believer faces in this life will in eternity turn out for good. May God richly bless you.
This has been another edition of the Shepherd Thoughts Podcast. For more episodes and other helpful resources online, visit shepherdthoughts.com. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ enable you to devote your heart and mind to biblical thinking for biblical living. Thank you for listening.